Okay, the Torah tells us that in the year of the Yovel, Avadim are freed. And the Torah gives a reason for it. Why is it that in Yovel, Avadim have to be freed, that slaves do not stay with their master? So the Pasuk says, Ki li b'nei Yisrael Avadim. Avadai heim. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, B'nei Yisrael are my Avadim. And they should never view themselves as Avadim on a permanent basis to anybody else but the Ribbono Shel Olam. Clearly indicating that it's unbecoming of us to be somebody else's servants. We're put here to be Ovdei Hashem. And even just the term, you know, you say the term Eved, Shivcha, use the term slavery. It's a inherently negative term. Certainly in our culture, we associate it with like thankless tasks, even when we don't mean it literally. When we use the term slave, you know, that boss is a slave driver. What does that mean? It means that we're saying that he's too hard on us, that he's too difficult. A mother says to a child, I'm not your maid, clean up your room. Why? Because if it was a maid, it would be demeaning. It would be that I have to pick up after you. And the highest compliment, ironically, paid to the most accomplished Jew in all of history, is that he is an Eved. Moshe Eved Hashem. Lokein Avdi Moshe. In fact, when we celebrate Shavuos, we're going to be re-experiencing a moment where the Gemara in Kiddushin tells us, Ozen Shoshama Bahar Sinai, Ki li b'nei Yisrael Avadim. That we're going to be the ears that have heard at Har Sinai, that we will be Avadim. So apparently, Avdus has a very positive side when it's geared toward Hashem. Being an Eved, as much as it's a negative word, a word that we don't like to use so much, slave has such negative connotations, certainly in this country with its sordid history. But when we talk about Eved Hashem, that's something that's a very lofty status. Signifies a level of religious accomplishment. But on the other hand, the Torah also refers to us not only as Avadim, as children of Hashem. Banamatem l'Hashem Elokeichem. We look up to Tata in Himmel, Avinu Avarachamim. Kadosh Baruch Hu is our father. So our relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu is a dual relationship. It's a relationship of Avdus and a relationship of a ben to an Av. In a drasha he gave in 1973, Rabbi Lamb explored three distinct and very important explanations of that dual relationship of Avdus and Banim. First, there's a Gemara in Bava Basra, Dav Yud, records a famous conversation between Tanusrovas HaRasha and Rabbi Akiva. V'zu she'ela shal Tanusrovas HaRasha as Rabbi Akiva. Tanusrovas HaRasha asked Rabbi Akiva, Melkechem oiv aniyim hu, mipnei ma eno mefarnasam. If Hashem loves poor people, why doesn't He just support them? Why do we have to give tzedakah? If Hashem really loves them so much, why does He make them poor? Let Him give them money. Rabbi Akiva says, it's not for them. He makes them poor so that we could be saved from Gehenna by supporting them. Tanus Rava says, no, you should go to Gehenna for that. I'll give you a mashal. Imagine a king, a human king, gets angry at his Eved, and then he locks him up in jail, and he tells everybody, don't give him anything to eat or to drink, and then someone comes along and gives him to eat and gives him to drink. When the king hears about that, don't you think he's going to get angry that someone went behind his back and supported this person that he said shouldn't be supported? And Tzorva says to us, and you are Avadim, Kili b'nei Yisrael Avadim. So how can you go support poor people that should bring you to Gehenna? Amar lo Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva says, you only understood half of it. Em shalacham mashal l'ma adavar doma. L'melech pasav adam shekos al b'no. Imagine a king not getting angry at an Eved, but getting angry at his son, v'chavsho beis asur, and then he locks him up in a dungeon. V'tziv alav shalal achil av shalal ashkoso, and he leaves instructions, no one should give him to eat or to drink. V'alach adam echad v'achil av ishkeu, when someone goes and gives him to eat or to drink, k'sheshama melech lo doron m'shagelo. Don't you think when the king hears about that, he's going to want to give the guy a gift that you saved my son's life, I was acting irrationally. Of course I don't want my son to die. Va'anan kruyin banim. And we are banim. Tichsiv banim atem l'Hashem elkechem. So what emerges from the Gemara is that if you have a mentality that we're all avadim, then you view misfortune that befalls other people as something that ought not be rectified. Meaning, if we're all avadim, then when HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes us, we deserve it and we take it, and no one should try to fix it or overcome that. That's what Hashem is giving us. And anyone who's trying to overcome that, it's Tzadik Shofet's argument. If we are avadim, and you try to overcome a punishment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu meted out, you are going against the Ratzon Hashem. However, what also emerges from this Gemara is that if we see ourselves as banim, if we see other Jews as banim, then we view misfortune that befalls us and others as a way of Hashem allowing us a chance to help perfect the world. Hashem saying, you know what? I'm not going to do it all on my own. I'm going to give you an opportunity to partner with me. For the most part, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I take care of the world. But I'm going to leave some things not fixed, similar to how we describe the role of Bris Milah, where a person is only tamim when he has a Bris Milah, because Hashem left something unfinished so that we could also participate in completing man. If you view Klal Yisrael as banim, when there's a problem, when people are suffering, it's Hashem's way of saying, I'm leaving this for you to fix. You go give the tzedakah, you go be ma'achilo mashkeu, and I'll appreciate that because you're helping me out. The message of this approach and of this Gemara is that we're probably best off viewing ourselves as avadim, being mekabel yisurim, understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing us, not just stam, so that other people can get mitzvahs of being nice to us, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing us because maybe there's something we deserve, but viewing everybody else as banim. Viewing the rest of Klal Yisrael as banim, never accepting that. Oh, okay. I guess HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that person to be homeless. I guess HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that person to be unemployed. I guess HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that person to be ill. I guess HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that person to have no friends because look, he doesn't have any. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I'm letting you participate in the process. And that would be the ideal outlook that a person could have. I am an eved. Everybody else, they're banim. Second approach, Torah Tumima writes, an eved has to do what he's tasked to do. An eved rarely would want to go lifnim mishuras hadin, certainly not when the master is not looking, or if he doesn't think he's going to get anything out of it. The eved's serving because he has a job to do. The son, the banim, serve because they have a genuine love and admiration that they want to express. The son doesn't just do his job. He finds a way to go that extra mile. The Eved does what the master asks. The son does what the master wants. He doesn't even need to ask for it. The measure of our success in service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to appreciate the responsibilities of an Eved, but at the same time, while we know that we have a responsibility as an Eved, we can go beyond that and express genuine love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu by going lifnim mishuras hadin. So we're steadfast in our commitment to Dvar Hashem, but we're always looking, maybe we could do Ratzon Hashem too. Not just Dvar Hashem, not just what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you must do this. An employee of his company knows that he has a job to do, but somebody who's bought into the mission of the company, someone who sees it as not just a job, but a calling, and that this is something that's going to better the world. He sees value, he sees fulfillment in his work, and what his place of work stands for. He'll volunteer more time, he'll put in more effort, he'll invest more creativity in his job. That's the trick, right? That's Google's secret, right? That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get everyone and all the major companies, and Apple, that's what they're trying to do. They want their employees to buy into the mission, to buy into how they're making the world a better place, and because of that, they will never ever leave the office. and they'll always be coming up with new ideas that will benefit the company. Because anyone can hire people who can work a 9-to-5 and do a task that they're asked to do. That an Eved does that. But the trick is to relate to the Ribbono Shel Olam, like we're Banim as well, that we're on a mission. And a third way of viewing this dichotomy, Rabbi Lam points out, based on the Zohar and Parshas Bahar, this week's Parsha, doesn't just highlight how a son does more than a servant, like we just said, but rather that a son does things differently than a servant. The servant does what he's expected to do, but in a certain sense, it's probably often done robotically. While the son serves in a more tender way, in a more warm way, in a more affectionate way. Same job. Get me a glass of water. Servant gets a glass of water, son gets a glass of water. But it's not the same, the way they do it. In the words of the Zohar, the son is mechapes begin ze'aviv. Rabbi Lam very poetically describes it, the Eved is the one who observes and gives and participates. But you can feel the icicles hanging from his heart. The Ben is a Jew who not only observes and participates, but also worries and loves and feels. Rav Moshe Weinberger's favorite story, I think it's his favorite story because like I haven't heard him speak that many times, but I've heard him say this story like 1,000 times, is of the poetry reading that happened in a town in England many, many years ago. It happened or didn't happen, irrelevant. But the story goes that happened many years ago where they first called on a young man to read from the Psalms, and he very elegantly and poetically read, "For the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Hashem ro'i lo echsar." And he read it very beautifully in the Queen's English with a real flair for poetic drama. And when he was done, people, you know, politely applauded. And then an Alta Yid in the back of the room also asks, "Can I read the same psalm? Can I try it?" Everyone's thinking, well, Yiddish accent, you know, like, well, what's he going to be able to do? How's he going to outdo that young man? But, you know, everyone's proper. An old man asks for an opportunity. They're not going to turn him down. So they give him a shot. And he starts reading, Hashem ro'i lo echsar, v'nosdesha yarbitzeni. And he starts reading it, putting his whole soul into it. And when he's done, everybody's crying. There's no applause, everyone's crying. And the young man goes over to the Alta Yid. He says, "I don't get it. Why do people react so emotionally to your reading and so coldly to mine?" And the Alta Yid responded, "It's entirely different when you know the shepherd. There's a difference between being an Eved, you have a task to do, and being Mechapes Begin Ze'aviv. Same act, same reading, but one is with an appreciation." Now last year, there was an article published in the Florida Sun Sentinel. My sister sent it to me. It was an article, it was a puff piece. It was done by a journalist who was writing an article about the Yom Tov of Shavuos, such an unknown holiday. Now, every Jew knows Passover. Every Jew knows Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Sukkot, not as much. Shavuos, nobody. Because, like, what happened on Shavuos? That was important, right? Shavuos, nobody. They don't know anything about Shavuos. So, the reporter went to different shuls and interviewed different rabbis and people in the shul. "Tell me about Shavuos." So they went to the Boker Hatzion Synagogue, where my friend Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg is the rabbi, and my sister and brother-in-law are members. And they went to ask people about Yontif, about Shavuos. So my brother-in-law happened to have been coming out of shul when the reporter was there. And the reporter asked him, you know, "Tell me about Shavuos." So in this story, my brother-in-law is quoted as saying, "It's my favorite night of the entire year. We stay up all night learning Torah, and there's nothing as enjoyable and as exciting as when a piece of Torah clicks in your head." Beautiful. That part made the article. The part that didn't make the article, wasn't reported, is that the secular Jewish reporter went on to ask my brother-in-law, And what's so great about Torah? I don't get it. You're describing being up at 3 a.m. with a bunch of people and some of them getting something clicking in their head. I don't even know. I don't want to click in my head. What are you talking about? What's so great about it? So how would you answer that question? Put on the spot. What's so great about it? From someone who has nothing, doesn't know any Torah. A totally secular Jew. So if you're an Eved, you'd coldly describe ancient tradition, connecting with God, or something of that sort. You'd describe maybe the Sinai experience. You would tell him about it. Because he asked you what it's about, so you would give an answer. This is what it's about. But if you're a Ben, you would do what my brother-in-law did. And you would say, what's so great? Come, let me show you. Sit and learn with me. And you'd sit and learn with the guy for a half hour. That's what's so great about it. To have just a deeper sense. Go beyond what the task at hand really is. Be mechapes beginzei aviv. So the avoda of this time of year, of Shavuos, coming up, Kabbalah HaTorah, is really threefold. We're supposed to come together as Jews, ki ish echad b'lev echad, appreciate our fellow Jews as worthy banim l'makom, and therefore if misfortune befalls them, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling us, I want you to finish the job for me. We're also supposed to go beyond the letter of the law, the way a loving child would do for his parent, but maybe even most importantly, that third message, to make sure that all of our mitzvahs, not just to focus on things we don't yet do that we should be doing, or things that we do that we shouldn't be doing, but even take those mitzvahs that we already do, ben adam l'chaveiro, ben adam l'makom, and do them with a sense of vibrancy, a sense of warmth, a sense of love, a sense of emotion, a sense of being mechapes beginzei aviv. You know, the popularization in many modern Orthodox circles of Hasidus. Why did it take such a, in this generation, it took this neo-Hasidus thing. It's like it became so popular. You'd be hard-pressed to find a modern Orthodox high school student who takes the religion seriously that wasn't at a bonfire singing and dancing last night. Well, where's that from? That's not an old Litvish minhag. It's not a modern Orthodox minhag. Where did that come from? It came from this desire to feel a certain warmth, to feel a certain connection. Rav Moshe Weinberger has pointed out, Hasidus is one way to do it, but it's not the only way to do it. There are plenty of Kalta Litvaks who were not Kalt at all. They had a tremendous vibrancy, a tremendous passion in their Yiddishkeit. We have to find a way to internalize that. Even like, you look at the descriptions of Rav Aaron Lichtenstein's Zichrono Livracha. Certainly he no chassid. And he's described as like this ish hatfila. You know, screaming out the tkios and Rosh Hashanah. Where it was more powerful and penetrating to hear him scream the word tkia than to actually hear the tkia. How his daughter described him as when he would say Tehillim, "Hilo amar Tehillim muzaak v'tzaak Tehillim," with all of his heart. And when he would start speaking about what Torah means, what Avodas Hashem means, he would all of a sudden speak in such poetic terms. He's describing this incredible love, the love the Rambam describes that one is supposed to have for the Ribono Shel Olam, where a person is just completely engulfed in this incredible love. He starts talking in a way that makes Shakespeare look like a chump. Just so poetic, so incredible. Whatever it does that for us, wherever we can connect emotionally, because when we connect emotionally to something, when we connect passionately to something, it's done on an entirely different level. And it becomes non-negotiable. and it becomes a long-term commitment. And that's our avoda. Our avoda as avadim, of course, we have a job to do. But our avoda ultimately as banim as well.